Welcome to Solder Smoke, where we talk about all things electronic and geeky. We meet on Echolink and swap ideas related to workbench radio projects. If you have any questions about this podcast or suggestions for future casts, send a note to soldersmoke@yahoo.com. As always, have fun, melt solder, and pass along your ideas.
KL7R, KL7R. Juneau, Alaska. This is M0HBR in central London. Are you there, Mike?
Yeah, M0HBR, KL7R. Well, glad to run into you this evening, Bill. I just got back from a bike ride. Went out to find some bears, but only saw the red salmon in the creek. Saw a bear yesterday. Back to you. Over.
Good to hear you, Mike. Yeah. Well, great. Bike riding, looking for bears. Wow. We were out bike riding day before yesterday here in London. No bears at all sighted. Saw a couple of ducks and a couple of swans, but that was about it. A squirrel. We'll see an occasional fox here, even in the center of town. But, yeah, I guess this is Solder Smoke 30. And I think, although I left my watch downstairs, it's the Sunday the 20th of August here in London. I guess It's Saturday night in Juneau, KL7R, M0HBR.
Yeah, I was thinking tomorrow's going to be my brother's birthday, so I think you got it right. I have been doing a little bit of thinking about electronics, if not doing too much. I finished the schematic for the Motley rig there, that triple-E or quadruple-E crystal-bound rock-bound rig, sideband rig. I put the schematics up there for the Motley on my website. So that's finished, and so I'm sure I'll get some critiques on what I did wrong on the amplifier train. I could use some education on what I did wrong and why I needed so many stages of amplification to get those push-pull IRF 510s to put out any power. Learning experience, and clearly I need some more learning. So that's the main thing. I've been thinking about that QST competition, and that got me looking at the BitX 20 pretty seriously there, Bill. M0HBR, KL7R.
Yeah, KL7R, M0HBR. Okay, Mike, real good. Well, you and I have been generating similar amounts of solder smoke, which is not much other than mental solder smoke, but fine on the rockbound receiver. There was some traffic on the QRPL list. I don't know if you saw it just in the last few days about a completely rockbound rig for slow speed QRP, QRSS work on 30 meters. And they were actually putting the crystal filter at the operating frequency, I think pretty much between the antenna and the receiver, just to really cut down all the noise coming in and really narrowing the bandwidth at the front end of the receiver. I didn't look at it real closely, but that was interesting. Hey, you mentioned IRF 510s, and I wanted to mention something here. I saw something I thought was really neat, and I put it up on my on the Gadgeteer blog that you can get to from www.gadgeteer.us. Just go down to the blog link. Steve Melt Solder Weber, one of our colleagues here in the homebrew world, put up on his website the schematic for what he calls a fairly simple SSB rig. It uses any 602s. It's a neat circuit, but what really caught my attention was how he did the final amplifier. The rig's for 75 meters. It's SSB. And he uses two IRF 510s in the final. But I really like the way he did the heat sink mounting. He built the amplifier on a small, I guess looks like about 3x3 inch PC board. And he built it in a standard ugly Manhattan kind of style that we all use. But and a picture is worth 1,000 words in this case, but I'll try to describe it. He cuts out two little transistor-sized holes in the PC board. He puts the PC board on the bottom end of the big thinned heat sink. He bolts the IRF-510s, I guess through mica, onto this massive heat sink. So the PC board sits on the bottom, and the two transistors sit through the holes, mounted flat on the IRF-510, mounted flat on the heat sink. And then it's great because you've got the circuit right there. The leads are all short. The transistors are mounted right on the big heat sink. So I thought it was, no pun intended, a pretty cool way of doing it. And the QST50, that challenge is out there. You got to think about that. KL7R, M0HBR.
It took me that long to find Steve Weber's site there, and so I'll have to take a look at what he did. I did see he blew up his power supply. That was kind of neat of him to share that. Working on that. I put a light bulb in my power line. I put a tail light bulb from a car as a current limiter, and periodically that thing would light up the room when I would short something out. Not much going on. I did look at the BitX 20, and I finally got around to understanding what he was up to, and parts of it anyway, and it's kind of interesting the way he's doing the bidirectional amplifiers. I was just kind of thinking along the same lines. I was thinking, instead of using transistors, just using NE602s, try to get by with a single NE602. But they're so cheap, I didn't know if it was worth doing that. So anyway, I was just kind of ruminating. I did melt a little bit of solder. I made some cables in here for a couple of different things. News. The end of last month, July 31st, they saw a negative sunspot. They saw a reverse sunspot on the sun. And so if magnetic field lines coming out of the sun go in a sense right to left, this one went left to right, and it only lasted just a few hours, and then it went away. But that's apparently the signal that we've hit the bottom of the sunspot cycle and are about to climb out there. Bill, M0HBR, KL7R.
Yeah, KL7R, M0HBR, real good. Yeah, I saw that. That is good news. And I also saw some disturbing news on the propagation front. This discussion of some sort of new high-tech effort to protect satellites from nuclear explosions by destroying the ionosphere. I haven't read it about it yet, but it's out there, and there's some discussion about it. And it all sounds pretty weird and far-fetched. So I guess this will be the next thing to worry about after the BPL over the power lines thing, the next technical challenge to ham radio. So it might be that just as the sunspot cycle gets going, the mad scientists go up there and destroy the ionosphere. Another thing to worry about, Mike. I guess I did a little bit of solder smoke generation here. After months and months of messing around with my 20-meter DSB rig, I decided I just needed to get it off the workbench. So I moved it, and it's accompanying linear amplifier over to the operating position here. So now it's sitting up on top of my Drake 2B receiver. And also, I'm proud to report that I'm running this particular rig completely solar powered now. It hooks up to the 7 amp hour gel cell that I have, which is pretty much constantly being trickle charged by two Volkswagen solar panels that I have stuck with suction cups on the window here. It gets just enough light and energy to make up for the little bit of electricity that I use to run this rig. So we're solar powered DSB here, Mike. thought that was kind of fun. Yeah, speaking of solar power, here in central London, there's a little lake in Hyde Park called the Serpentine. It's very famous and a beautiful lake. We're over there all the time. My kids learn to ride their bikes right next to it. And this summer they have a solar powered ferry boat that take you from one side of the lake to the other, completely solar powered. The whole roof of the thing is solar panels, and I guess it all goes down and charges the batteries, and they run this thing back and forth across the lake. We took a ride on it on Friday. You ride your bikes right up onto it and then go across the side of the lake solar powered. So we've been having a very green kind of ham radio and I guess bike riding week here, Mike. KL7RM 0HBR.
Right, you guys are all very ecologically minded there. I've never done much with solar power. I've done a lot with batteries, but we're a little bit cloud covered and pretty far north as far as the latitude goes. So never really got into solar power. There was I had an opportunity to go to work for a possibility of working for a guy that that did wind power and. 4 kilowatt inverters and stuff like that for houses and people out in the boonies. But solar never really did it up here. Yeah, I'm looking at Steve Weber's 25-watt amp here, and he's better than I am. I could get nowhere near 25 watts. And I'm looking at the way he did it. He just basically hogged off. The circuit board and laid the IRF 510s right on the board without any copper, so he didn't have to have an insulator. He just basically ground off a patch that he could lay the 510s on. I was thinking about doing that. Looks like he's using a plastic screw, so maybe his insulator's on the back there with a plastic screw. I'd be interested to know what he did for a heat sink. I haven't gotten that far. I do see where he hogged off the ground plane. I was thinking about doing that, but then I couldn't figure out how I was going to get the heat away. So, well, I'm kind of scattered, Bill. I have a bunch of subjects I wanted to talk about, but I forgot what they were. Maybe if I turn it over to you for a minute, I can go look through my notes. I did notice where Van Allen passed away, the guy that Van Allen belt's named after. I was going to say something about that, but I forget. M0HBR, KL7R.
KL7R, M0HBR. It's all that bike riding, Mike. It's jumbled up your thought process there. It's like the famous... I think, was it Churchill that said anytime he got the urge to exercise, he laid down and took a nap until the urge passed? Something like that. Somebody said that. But you've raised a lot of interesting subjects. Yeah, on Steve Weber's site, look at it. What the cool thing is that what he's done is he's, through those little holes in the PC board, behind that PC board, underneath it, is the big, finned, heat sink, you know, the kind of heat sink that you see on top of power supplies and anything else that's really hot. So I mean, what he's done is he's bolted, you know, you can see the plastic screws, and I bet you he has just a little bit of that kind of mica insulator that provides, you know, electrical isolation but allows the heat to go through, and probably with some heat sink compound, or desitin, as we discovered in an earlier episode. He's got the those IRF 510s mounted flat down through those holes right onto the big heat sink. So that's the heat sink, you see. And then the board is, I guess you could just super glue the board right onto the heat sink, and there you go. So if you lifted that heat sink up, you'd have the board for the amplifier just right down there on the bottom. I'm sure you see what I mean. And I have, if anybody wants to take a look at this, just go to the Gadgeteer blog at www.gadgeteer.us and go to the blog link, and I have a link there to Steve's website, and I thought that was pretty cool. Now let's see what else. Yeah, the sunspots. Yeah, I am hoping that we're on the other end of the solar cycle. It would be nice to get some sunspots again, and it's been a particularly difficult solar minimum for me, being here in central London, in the concrete canyons of central London, with grave and difficult antenna challenges in this neighborhood. My little vertical antenna does seem to be doing okay, and it does allow for some QSOs, but it's been rough. Let's see. I'll turn it back over to you, KL7R, M0HBR.
Yeah. I guess one other thing that kind of ties into what we were talking about before with the Feynman and the Moody Blues. I was about that time I was watching the NASA channel, and I saw a picture of the sun, and they were playing the sun's music, and it was kind of like a boo sound, so I went out to download a number of these things, and basically they're looking at what do they call it? Helioseismology. They're looking at the ringing of the sun at one cycle per 5 minutes or one cycle per 5 seconds. I think they said really slow. Maybe it was 5 minutes. I forget. Long period vibrations of the surface of the sun, and they recorded this, and then they filtered out the ones they wanted, and then they over a period of time, then they converted that up to audio and played back these tones that sound much like the gong you play there for the mailbag. I thought I'd pass that on to either Bill. Another thing with the helioseismology, they use it to see the far side of the sun. I mentioned that before, where they look at the surface of the near side of the sun, and they look at activity on the surface of the near side of the sun, and that tells them the size and location of sunspots on the far side of the sun, and they can anticipate whether a flare is going to happen 14 days out. So that's pretty cool. So that's the main thing. I was on the QRP L list a while back, and had a chance to promote the Spratt CD. The guys were asking about SBL1s, and they asked where I got my SBL1, and I said I stole it out of I bought a surplus sideband radio that was on the state ferries, and I pulled the SBL1s out of that sideband radio. But I told them you could make your own out of just some ferrites and diodes, or toroids and diodes, and I also said that there was an article in one of the Spratts, I think Spratt 56 or something, that described how to make an SBL1 clone complete with the pins, pin out, and everything. So that was useful there. Back to you there, Bill. M0HBR, KL7R.
KL7R, M0HBR. Yeah, the Spratt CD. Always a great buy. I have, I think I have the paper copies of all of them here, and I think for some of the early ones, I just printed out the CDs. I have the Spratt sitting here. You mentioned the solar music, the sun music. My wife and I started watching this movie Solaris the other night. It was kind of a weird sci-fi movie. We don't watch too many sci-fi. Had all kinds of pictures of solar prominences and things like that. So I guess it was the ham radio propagation connection that that drew me to the movie. But you mentioned the sounds. Well, you know, one of the things I don't think I've ever heard it. I probably have without knowing it. But the sounds of Jupiter. You know, you with the right antenna under the right conditions, if Jupiter is in the sky, you can hear radio signals being generated by, I guess, storms or electrons moving around the Jovian atmosphere. And they say it makes kind of a, the way it's been described to me, it's like a little bit of a kind of waves crashing on the beach slowly or something like that. But that would be fun. Oh, you mentioned our aircraft receiver in the kitchen. Well, it's been deactivated. I guess the novelty has worn off. So our kitchen aircraft receiver has been taken down. It's now up with me here in the shack to inform our listeners. I think we might have mentioned this earlier, but we were in the approach pattern for Heathrow Airport here. Most of central London is. So all day, every day, there's a big plane going over. They're up at about 3,000 feet here, so it doesn't bother you, but you can hear them going over. And I, just for kicks, fired up the little aircraft band receiver, and we could hear some of the chatter between the pilots and the various air traffic control facilities around southern England. It's kind of fun. It's not as fun as you'd think. It gets kind of boring because it's just the same thing over and over again. And you just wish they would sort of go into rag chewing mode and say, you know, wow, London looks really great, or you know, talk about something. But they don't. Not too much. I don't know if you've ever listened to the shortwave equivalent of this, Mike, but on the shortwave bands, you can listen to the transatlantic chatter as the planes go over. You can hear them checking in with the various control stations that monitor their progress as they make their way across the Atlantic, and it is on shortwave, and you can hear it very, very easily. And I used to listen to it when I was out in the Azores. It was kind of fun to listen to the planes and as they made their way over across the various highways in the sky that they have going over the North Atlantic. That was fun. KL7R, M0HBR.
Oh, Roger. You know that, what did you say, Jupiter or was it Neptune? I think you said Jupiter. I've heard those, and there's a receiver that's out. I can't remember the name of the group. There's a group that makes little receivers for high schools and stuff like that, so kids can listen to that. And I've tuned to 18 megs. I think maybe 18.20, 18.2, around in there. And you can hear the you know of that sound you're talking about. It's real easy to get. You don't need any special gear to hear that stuff. And I've heard it lots of times. And as far as the en route or in flight en route sideband, a lot of times those guys are pretty easy to pick up. There's a San Francisco is really easy to pick up here. And I hear the guys coming from Hawaii checking in and checking in with San Francisco, and Anchorage has an in route sideband that the commercial flights check into also. Ah, well, Bill, I think I'm winding down here. We gotta come up with something here as far as or maybe not. Maybe we should just let Farhan win. You know, he's basically got the perfect radio. I think if he hasn't been nominated, he ought to be. It'd be pretty hard to beat that as far as the Swiss Army knife MacGyver sort of radio there. Bill, M0HBR, KL7R.
Yeah, it'd be hard to beat Farhand. And right now, I got on the screen an email that we got from Greg NE1OB, and he's discussing the BitX20 and the challenges and all the discussion about it. I agree. It'd be tough to beat Farhand. You know, it would be fun. One thing I think that one idea I had for the whole thing. I'm sure others have thought of this too, but it would be neat if they would do it. Got sort of a little bit beyond the standard construction article. It would be great if included in the article were the files that you could use with LTSpice, so that maybe stage by stage, you know, the builder could, you know, put the circuit that he's building up onto LTSpice and then play with the values a little bit and see how it was going to work and integrate LTSpice into the construction project. I think that would be really neat. And, you know, it would help with troubleshooting, would also help with understanding the circuit. And I guess you could the article might describe how to build it virtually and real world at the same time, and do it simultaneously, and have the computer going with the circuit. Oh, there's all kinds of possibilities here. And one thing that did come up was we were talking about parts and parts that would be needed for this rig. And my, of course, being a junk box oriented guy, I was starting to think about, you know, just where people could scrounge parts to keep the cost within the $50 limit. But then somebody sent me an email saying that we'd have to be careful about that, because I think the contest organizers are thinking more in terms of parts that can be easily acquired. Not necessarily at the local Radio Shack, but perhaps from DigiKey or other mail order suppliers. So you really would have to be able to order these parts. And I'm not sure that the standard radio lead NE602s are still in that category. I don't know if they're still available with you know, standard with that, with actual leads on it. You might be able to get surface. I know you can get surface mount SMTs, surface mount NE602s, but I don't know if the ones that we're used to playing with, those big fat leads coming out of them, are still readily available. We'd have to think about that. Well, fine on the Jupiter sounds. Yeah, I probably have heard it, but I'm never really quite sure. And yeah, I think around 18 megs is where they usually listen. Let's see. I got a couple things to mention here, just sort of housekeeping. I put up a video page on the on my Gadgeteer website. It's just a collection. Right now, it's just videos, a collection of the solder smoke videos. And by the way, I've done some video recording of this episode, and I'll put a clip of that up so that our listeners can become viewers and see what solder smoke looks like, at least from the London side. I'll encourage you to do the same there from Juneau, Mike, and then we can just add something to the video page. But there is a video page on the www.gadgeteer.us site, and it just, when you click on one of the links, it takes you to YouTube. And up there right now, I have the Feynman video that we discussed. I have the greetings from solder smoke from various locations around the world. And I couldn't resist it. But I, as a former paratrooper, I found a clip of U.S. Army soldiers jumping out of airplanes from the viewpoint of the jumper, and it was very, very realistic, and I thought it would be of interest for some strange reason to solder smoke fans. It's sort of technical, you know, how they jump out of the airplane and the parachutes, and some pretty cool video there. So I have a link on that. Forgive the diversion from our normal electronic topics. And one other thing I put up on the blog, I came across an interesting quote about the first home brewers. It seems that the anthropologists have discovered that as soon as people started making tools, we're talking real early people, probably, I think it was Homo erectus or Homo habilis, one of the early hominids. As soon as they started making tools, they discovered that they were making these tools in far greater numbers than they needed for real, you know, applications. And it just seemed the anthropologists have just figured that they're doing it for fun. that's what I discovered there. One of the things I put up on Gadgeteer. Back to you, Mike. KL7R M0HBR.
All right. Well, I don't know if you'll get me to take a video of me talking on a radio. I don't think that's happened there, Bill. I was a little bit camera shy that way. As far as old MacGyvers, there, you know, I got into building flutes at one point out of PVC pipe. If you can imagine, I built a number of them out of PVC pipe, some that you blow across the hole and some that you blow into a knife edge at the end of the flute, and made a number of them. And anyway, when I was doing the research into that, it turns out that the anthropologists have found 50,000-year-old bones from, say, a deer with holes drilled in it, and in the chromatic scale, not chromatic, but in a scale that makes sense, a harmonic scale, like a minor scale or a major scale, they have found holes that in bones that match what would be a minor scale flute, and 50,000 years old drilled in the side of a bone that again, no practical purpose there at all. Just something fun to do. Okay, Bill. We'll have to follow this out. I'm thinking my next project, you know, may not be designing a radio of my own for the competition. I think my next project may be building the BitX 20. I think maybe that would be a way to show some respect for Farhan there. Maybe I'll take that on. And you know, I'm not real sure I'll build it the way he designed it. You know, I might just take the basic ideas there and change them around a little bit. Not sure what I'm gonna do there, but that's what I'm kind of thinking of. I'm not sure the bidirectional amps are necessary. I'm not sure why he did that. So I'll have to look at that a little bit more. And that's what I've been doing. I saw one guy out there had a YouTube video of his BitX 20 receiver, and I was watching this thing and I'm looking at it. I said, "Oh, that looks familiar." And then a few minutes later, you know, the corners of my mouth are turning up, and then about a minute later, I'm just grinning from ear to ear. It was funny. It was hilarious. It was great fun to watch this guy tuning across with his BitX 20 receiver. I don't remember. Maybe if I look here, I can find out who it was. But it was really fun watching that. It was like the last. Just a few minutes. Oh, here it is. It's Delta Whiskey 1 Sierra Charlie Oscar. If you look on YouTube for that, you'll see his video. Pretty much fun there. And as far as using LT Spice, there are engineering on the file for the BitX 20. There's a folder called ENGR. I can't find it right now, but there was a file in there called engineering, and there are LT Spice documents or or just the SPICE documents for each of the modules of the VidX20. And the last item about the VidX20, somebody mentioned that it was a good platform for development because each of the stages was 50 ohms in, 50 ohms out, or 200 in, 200 out. So it was pretty easy to attack problems using it modularly. So anyway, those are the thoughts I've been bouncing around, sort of a virtual solder smoking there, Bill. Hey, I'm ready to call it a day. Over to you there, M0HBR, KL7R.
KL7R, M0HBR. All right, but before you go, I'm going to turn on a camera here because I think we have to film the segment of the banging of the gong. Let's see. Yeah, okay, hold on. All right, let's see. It's time for solder smoke mailbag. Here's the gong. Stand by. Wow. Solder smoke mailbag. There's the gong. Let me turn off the camera. Well, let me read through it. We got some really nice mail recently. Jason, NT7S, alerted me to the EMRFD, the Experimental Methods in RF Design, Yahoo group, which I immediately signed up for. I know you've been with this group for a while, but I think it's a great idea, and it's really very, very nice of the authors to pop in and answer questions about that really great book. John, WA8KNE, wrote about the octopus oscilloscope tube that you alerted us to, Mike, and he said he's been using the octopus with great success for many years. We thank John for sharing that with us. Sam, ZL1SAM, has overcome some cyberspace technical difficulties and is now receiving solder smoke 5x9 down there in New Zealand, and we're always happy to hear about listeners from the other side of the planet. Thanks, Sam. Randy, N3UMW was the only one out there to take us up on the logo design assistance request, and he sent us a very nice design. We're gonna try to make use of it, and thanks very much for that, Randy. Let's see, Phil, WB7AEI, sent a very nice message about solder smoke and talked about his work with Regens. Doc, K8WPE, sent us in some info on fishing pole antennas. All the fishing poles are being put to different use here by radio amateurs. We got some email from John, NS5Z, and Greg, NE1OB. I think I already mentioned Greg's comments about the QST50 challenge. Farhan with the 50 ohm in, 50 ohm out. There's just so many neat things about that rig, and about the part sourcing for it. It's really a very, very neat piece of work. And so I think he's got a real good head start there. Oh, let's see. One other thing. One thing that popped up on the QRPL list that I wanted to mention. Bob Fish, K6 GGO, points out that MIT has recently put all or most of their technical courses online. And so if you want to brush up on calculus or physics, they've got an amazing website there, and with all kinds of courses, and they've got the video of the lectures and course notes and exams and, well, the whole thing. It's sort of like a MIT in a can. And I said, if you combine this with David Rutledge's The Electronics of Radio book, you basically have MIT and Caltech, and then I suppose you could get Feynman's lectures on physics, and there you go. Should definitely increase the quality of home brewing. Mike, did I say it wrong? EM? Oh yes, of course. Got to include EMRFD and solid state design. Yeah. All right. So I guess we got to wrap it up. I think it's been been a good one. I've had fun, and I hope the listeners enjoy it. If anybody has any feedback on the show, you can send it to us. Or I always forget which email address we should give out, so I'll just say send it to you. Send it to me at n2cqr@arrl.net, and it'll reach me. Over to you, Mike, and we can wrap it up. KL7R, M0HBR.
All right, Bill. Well, you know, the days are getting darker. I just got a call from a fellow in New Zealand this morning on Echolink, and he was saying the days are getting longer down there, and starting to get shorter up here, and so winter hits, I'll be in the mood for something here. I'm gonna spend some time with the BitX 20. I think that's a cool rig. I was thinking about varactors and using plain old diodes as varactors. I want to experiment with that a little bit. There's a bunch of possibilities there. All right, well, have a good week, Bill, and don't work too hard. Been pretty busy here. I imagine you've been busy also. 73, and catch you next week or whenever. M0HBR, KL7R, clear.
Okay. Yeah, KL7R, M0HBR. I was just tuning with, you mentioned varactors, and I started tuning my ceramic-controlled DSP rig. There you go. 20's kind of dead this morning, but at least we got a little bit of live radio there on Solder Smoke. 7-3, Mike. Have a good Sunday tomorrow, and we'll talk to you again. It's time for the next issue of Solder Smoke. KL7R, M0HBR, 7-3.